Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you on this rainy September morning. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is to wish you all a happy Labor Day. Tomorrow is Labor Day. Hopefully everybody gets an opportunity to do one last thing on their summer bucket list before we transition into the fall. This Sunday, we are going to be celebrating communion together. That will happen a little bit later in the service. I will bless the elements, and then I will give the elements to our elders, who will then serve you in your seats. We are transitioning into our fall schedule, so we have a couple things happening in the next couple weeks that we haven't had happen in a minute or two. I would like to remind the women of our church that there will be a Women's Association meeting this coming Sunday. I believe that is September 12th at 10 o'clock in the library. So if you are interested in being a part of, I believe, the craft show plans, please plan on attending that meeting. Also, the choir is going to be resuming, I believe, this Thursday, because it's the Sunday after Labor Day, and you guys will be back to singing, which I'm excited about. I think those are, final announcement. There are some printed copies of the September Valley in the back if you would like a printed copy to pick up before you leave. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? I almost forgot. Welcome, Debbie. It's good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for playing. All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 31, Let Us With a Gladstone Mind. Now in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another. Morning. Morning. Good. Please be seated for our anthem. friends, please join me in prayer. Great God of all, you have assured the human family the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let us now lift up to you our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Kathy and Kathy's sister, Patty. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Sandy Salmon this morning as she awaits the results of her COVID test. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we lift up to you the communities here in the United States that have been devastated by Hurricane Ida, particularly here in Shaler, Lord, as we dealt with flooding and power outages and road closures. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the people in our community that helped make those roads navigable, that helped clear away flood water and helped us get back to our daily lives. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we're going to remain seated for our hymn of preparation. We're going to sing hymn 442, Just As I Am. friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering.
Today's reading comes from Mark 7, verses 24 through 37. From there, he sat down and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet, he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in a private place away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and he touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And immediately Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Bless the reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week, we're back in Mark's gospel. After spending the summer exploring some of the letters to the early churches, I thought as summer kind of gives way to fall, this would be a good time for us to transition from learning what is church and how do we be church to who is Jesus and why does Jesus matter in the life of the church. You'll notice that in Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't stay in one place for very long. He is kind of constantly on the move, traveling from town to town, healing the sick, driving out demons, and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. And while he's doing this, he keeps constantly telling his disciples or just different people gathered to not tell anybody who he is and what he's about. I think Jesus does this because he doesn't want these healing miracles he performs to distract people from this major healing miracle that's about to take place on the cross. Our scripture reading for this morning is one of those healing stories in Mark. In our story for this morning, we actually have two healing stories. One involves a Syrophoenician woman's daughter who is possessed by a demon, and the other one involves a deaf and mute man who is asking Jesus to heal him. Both of these stories focus on unfortunate suffering from illness that isolates these people from their communities. When Jesus heals the little girl and the man, he performs a miracle. And when I say miracle, what I'm talking about here is when Jesus does something for a person that they cannot do for themselves. You'll notice in our text for this morning that Jesus seems, for lack of a better word, a bit preoccupied as he is healing these people. He actually insults the woman before he goes and heals her daughter. Once he kind of restores speech to the man, he tells the man not to use his new gift to tell people who Jesus is. I think one of the reasons that Jesus is a little bit preoccupied is because Jesus is kind of thinking about his end game. He's thinking about how he's heading to the cross. He's on this mission to restore creation to its intended glory. And he knows that this type of healing can only happen through sacrifice, death, and ultimately resurrection. The other thing that's kind of unique about this healing story as compared to other healing stories we hear about is that the people who want to be healed really have a lot of hoops they have to jump through to get to Jesus. Jesus doesn't just show up in their house and tell people to get up and walk, they're healed. These people kind of have to elbow their way through a crowd, state their case, and hope that Jesus will heal them. And then once Jesus heals them, they have this responsibility to make the most of this new life that Jesus makes possible for them. As I was reading through this story this morning, I was reminded of the ways that the kingdom of God can sometimes make sense to no one but God. The kingdom of God is often breaking into the world in the least likely of places, through howling demoniacs and deaf men. These healing stories also take place when Jesus is actually trying to take a break from the crowd. And even as he withdraws, he still encounters people in need of the healing only he can provide. I think the challenge of our story for this morning is to remind us to look for ways that this kingdom of God is unfolding all around us. One place where I always experience the inbreaking of the kingdom of God is when we gather together to celebrate communion. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. The crackers and the grape juice we partake of help us enter into the greatest healing story of all time. When God became man and God dwells among us, so that he could do something for us we cannot do on our own. Defeat the powers of sin and death and heal us once and for all. But the real miracle of communion is watching the body of Christ come forward to receive it. As I'm preparing and administering the elements, I'm always reminded of the miracle of God calling us to be the church in this time for this community. It is beautiful to watch men and women receive the elements who maybe haven't always gotten along so well in the past. It's beautiful to watch elders serve communion to folks who maybe need a little help receiving the elements. It's also beautiful to release the elements into the congregation, knowing that we get to bear witness to God at work in our community in a way that we can see and taste and touch. I will say, though, my favorite part of communion is the way that it beckons us out into the world. From this table, we are called to go out into the nooks and crannies of our lives and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Communion always starts at the table, but it continues as we get up and leave this place. Now, how we do this is going to look a little bit different for all of us. When God invites us to work with him and participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, sometimes that will mean volunteering our time for a cause that we really care about. Oftentimes it will mean doing that thing we really don't want to do, but we know we should. But most of the time, God's invitation is going to surprise us. It will force us to trust in God in ways we haven't had to in the past. It will ask us if we're willing to follow Jesus into the unknown. Friends, I know I talk a lot about this idea that God is always active and at work in our lives and communities, and that our job isn't to be God. Our job is to get in on what God is already doing. As we head into these fall months, we are going to have many opportunities to see firsthand what God is up to in our lives and communities. Just this past week, we saw communities ravaged by hurricanes, flash flooding, and extreme heat. We saw families struggling with the effects of Delta as they tried to head back to school and work. And our challenge remains to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near in this time and this place, even when we aren't exactly sure how it's all going to work out. Friends, when so much feels big and scary and outside of our control, we have to trust that God is at work, and we have to do what we can to control what is ours to control. We cannot heal every disease, and we cannot stop every roof from caving in. Only God can do that. But we can do what we can do to acknowledge human suffering and alleviate it. Sometimes that is as simple as showing up every month to receive communion. Oftentimes it is as complicated as following the still small voice of God as it beckons us to leave the familiarities of our routines and follow God into the unknown. However we find ourselves trusting in God this fall, know that you and I are not doing it alone. We do this in community with one another. In community, we bear one another's burdens so that no one has to face their burdens alone. We also do this with the help of God's Spirit. In those moments when we don't know what we should do, we lean on the Spirit's promptings, trusting that God is going to reveal the way forward in God's timing. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain seated as we prepare ourselves to receive communion with our communion hymn, Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread, number 500. Please join me as we celebrate communion together. You can find the liturgy to follow along with communion in your pews. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say, to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God, the people of God.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 796. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. We come to you for healing, Lord.
Body, mind, and soul. Remember.
friends, as we head back out into the world, let me leave you with a word of blessing. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord. Rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.